This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06. You are with Kelvin and Hezril on the evening edition. And first up, we're looking at the government's plans to strengthen domestic labour and how it will impact foreign workers. This comes in light of a government initiative announced by Plantation Industries and Commodities Minister, Datuk Dr. Mohamed Khairuddin Ahmad Razali. He said the Malaysian Rubber Council, or MRC, is creating a special fund worth 36 million ringgit to hire more local workers.
So the fund is meant to recruit at least 10,000 local workers and more than 200 rubber companies by December 2021. It'll subsidize 300 ringgit in wages for each worker hired for 12 months, and they'll gradually replace up to 10,000 foreign workers, specifically for the rubber glove sector.
Yeah, and the minister says this is in line with the government's new approach to reduce our reliance on foreign labour. So while the MRC fund targets the rubber industry, we also want to look at domestic labour from a general perspective.
Right, because ultimately the government wants to increase the number of local workers in all sectors. How will this impact businesses and foreign labour in the long term, for instance? And are there ways of boosting domestic labour besides wage subsidies?
So this morning, BFM spoke to Dr. M. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia lead at the Global Labour Organization. He gave his thoughts on how industries can move away gradually from a dependency on foreign labour.
I think we need to take into account the concerns of industry owners. What everyone is expecting is predictability and good communication. If we reflect back on the 11th Malaysia plan, it had a clear cap on 15% total workforce that could comprise of foreign workers, a target that the government set to be achieved by 2020. And here we are in 2020, and the figure is still in the region of 25%. So what has happened during the 11th Malaysia plan was not enough follow through. And now suddenly in times of pandemic, there is this abrupt change where the employers and business owners are forced to move to a new labor regime. So this is certainly something we have to avoid, that policy changes have to be on a consultative basis, in a collaborative mode. We have to take into account the fact that farms are in distress, they're facing a demand shock, they're cutting costs to survive. And at this time, any abrupt policy change can be counterproductive. Policy changes, therefore, have to be pre-announced. Without employers, a well-intentioned policy cannot be fully implemented. So we need all parties on the table so that changes are agreed, implemented gradually. When we are talking about graduation to a zero migrant worker equilibrium.
That was Dr. M. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia lead at the Global Labour Organization. If you'd like to hear more of that, you can find a podcast on our Spotify app. On Spotify, you can find it on our BFM app as well as on the website, bfm.my. Mm-hmm. So back to this point, right? The labour freeze was announced about a month ago, but then last week we received updates from the government saying that three sectors, plantation, agriculture and constructions, can actually hire foreign labour.
That's right, yeah.
I think the response so far has been that, the sectors, employers, as well as the labour unions are saying that we just haven't been able to give feedback to the government.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that what Dr. Niaz brought up just now is that, you know, these measures do have to be brought up on a consultative measure. And if we're looking at implementing it across, industries, is it going to also come in the form of wage subsidies? I mean, how much does the government, have to address these issues and increase local workers by directly giving them wage subsidies? I mean, this alone is 36 million ringgit, the rubber industry. What about other industries? Are they also going to have wage subsidies? And on another note, I'm also curious, the fact that the government has to give wage subsidies implies, of course, then that the salaries of local workers are going to be higher than that of foreign, foreign workers. And I just wonder, how much more will that be now that mm-hmm. In the context of the poverty line? Because now that the poverty line has been brought up, that's 2,208 ringgit. So and that's from the 980 ringgit that was previously implemented by the government, right? That's an outdated poverty line. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I bring up the poverty line is that in many countries, the minimum wage sort of aligns with the poverty line, right? Because if you're earning less, then you're living in poverty. So I'm just curious, to what extent can the government and like companies actually afford to hire local workers and align with these higher standards of living that have started, and that started with the readjustment of the poverty line.
Mm, and whether, I guess whether or not then this feels as if there isn't a need or a desire seemingly to work on more holistic and more complex solutions to solve this problem, right? Given that the reason, given to put a freeze on a foreign labor hire is an intake, is that, well, we want to try and solve unemployment in the country, which will be caused by the pandemic. And we also want to reduce our reliance on foreign labor overall. So one is a problem made worse by the pandemic, another exacerbated. The other one has having been a long-standing problem for such a long time.
Yeah.
This attempts at this, by putting a freeze, it seems too simplistic. It does perhaps... 1 + 1 = 2. They really do want it to be as simple as that.
Right.
Well, we don't have the labor anymore, so then we're forcing the hand of local workers. We're also forcing the hand of local employers to come in the middle and agree, and then local workers will take on these jobs. Local employers will want to hire them. I doubt it's as simple as that. I really hope that this isn't the only idea in the pipeline to solve unemployment. It isn't the only idea to solve our dependency on foreign labor. There's plenty of research done by government-linked institutions that have been providing rather brilliant solutions. I hope they will consider looking at those.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to understand from a different angle, long term, the wage subsidies specifically for the rubber industry fund is going to be 12 months. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is 12 months enough? Is it arbitrary? What does it align with? Because there's so many pieces that are moving right now in terms of trying to help people and businesses recover from COVID-19 that, it just seems... like too easy, I guess, to have arrived at this conclusion.
After this, we will be getting some thoughts from Jay Solomon, Secretary General of the MTUC, or the Malaysian Trades Union Congress. So stay tuned for that conversation. But in the meantime, if you have any thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:17. You're with Kelvin and Hezril on the Evening Edition, and we're looking at the government's plans to reduce our dependency on foreign labour. This comes as the the Plantation Industries and Commodities Minister, Dr. Muhammad Khairuddin Aman Razali, said that there will be a scheme under the Malaysian Rubber Council and a special fund, rather, to hire more local workers. And this is amidst also discussions of the labour freeze being implemented. So we're now going to cross over to Jay Solomon, Secretary General of MTUC, or the Malaysian Trades Union Congress, for his thoughts. Thanks so much for joining us today, Solomon.
Good evening.
So just yesterday, you released a statement saying that the government is committing economic suicide with its migrants worker restrictions. So far, what impact have you seen from the government's stance?
We can already hear rumblings that some sectors are facing a labour crunch after the freeze on foreign migrants was imposed. This is because there is no such taking as a seamless takeover by jobs by locals, which were traditionally held by the foreigners. We expect situation to worsen. unless there is a holistic review of remuneration, that will bring about decent living wages. So currently what we are saying, what we are seeing is that the share of the wealth, it's not equitable. In a sense that right now an average of 35% or so is given to the workers, whereas the owners have about 65%. I think that needs to be increased. Even if it is 35%, what we are seeing is that the top management have a bigger share of the cake, whereas the downline workers have lesser share. So that is also another cause of wide income gap between the low-income group and the top management. So these are the areas that needs to be ratified by the government.
And could you walk us through how the restrictions will specifically impact other sectors outside of the three that are still allowed to hire foreign workers, namely the construction, plantation, and agricultural sectors?
I mean, unless salaries and perks are improved, the restrictions will result in a labor crunch, especially in the services and the manufacturing sectors. Some small businesses which rely on foreign labor, such as the sundry shops, the small stalls, food stalls, hair saloons, will also suffer as locals are not incentivized to replace these foreign workers.
How do you think the government could have better handled the situation if they wanted to strengthen domestic labor?
The government has chosen to remain silent on the need to provide decent living wage to locals. It must understand that it cannot expect locals to support their families on the minimum wage. So this is an era where the government must prioritize if it wants to actually woo locals to take over jobs from foreigners. Otherwise, the restrictions on employing foreign labor will simply lead to a labor shortage, and massive unemployment among Malaysians will remain unresolved. Apart from the remunerations, employers must also go for a sustained automation expansion, which offers upskilling and better terms for Malaysians, as well as reduce the over-dependency on unskilled, low-paid migrant workers, which will ultimately result in locals being paid lowly as well.
So we're not sure about the details of the government's initiatives just yet, but do you think a wage subsidy of 300 ringgit throughout a period of 12 months is enough for the rubber industry to attract more local workers?
First thing, the massive funding is only for 1 year. And the minister has not said that what will happen after that, when employees will no longer have the 300 ringgit per worker subsidy. So if you're talking about 300 ringgit on top of the minimum wage of 1,200 ringgit, which is amounting to 1,500 ringgit, that would definitely not be enough. And I think the rubber industry right now, they are actually profiting. So I think they should actually take the first step to come out with a living wage, even though it will have to be a quantum leap. But that will actually benefit the local workers. And eventually it will help the industry too. I think that's what they should be doing right now.
So you mentioned in your statement yesterday that MTUC wasn't consulted prior to the government's decision on the migrant worker restrictions. Has the ministry or the government reached out to you since?
No, there has been no move to include MTUC in such consultations on this restriction, despite the fact that we are mandated to represent the workers in Malaysia, including migrants in this country. I think they have failed to look at the importance of this tripartite consultation.
What points would you have wanted to bring up with the government?
We would have articulated to the government on the need to provide workers, both locals and migrants, with decent living wages and work conditions. We will also suggest to the government that it is high time that the government should actually seriously consider in allowing school leavers and graduates to actually go down to the plantation and give them a plot of land in a loan form, or they can actually allocate them. So let them try out, you know, for 3 or 6 months. And if they are comfortable with it, then they should continue, and the government should actually allow them to have that piece of land. And if they're not able to continue, and I think then the government should actually revert them back to another industry. But I think the point is the opening must be given to these young graduates and school leavers, because all this while the plantation sector has been declared as 3D sector. So I think that perception, that stigma has to be removed. And if you allow these graduates to be there, and if they are comfortable, and if they are given a piece of land to actually cultivate, then I think we could see a new generation of young graduates, young workers, moving over from urban to plantation. And more so when currently, after the MCO, many seem to be in love with nature. So this could also be helpful to many Malaysians who are jobless right now.
Solomon, thank you again for speaking with us.
Okay then.
That was Jay Solomon, Secretary General of MTUC, or the Malaysian Trades Union Congress, talking to us about the government's plans to strengthen domestic labour, as well as that impact it will have on local industry and foreign workers. If you have any thoughts, you can send them through. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFN Radio. We're now headed to some music. It's Placebo with Every You, Every Me. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.